You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Sean Broderick, senior editor at WeissRatings.com. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
What's going on with gold? Is it not bright and shiny anymore?
No. Well, you know, a lot of people poured into gold on the fear trade. Now you've had reports, because the White House leaks like a sieve, that the Trump administration is actively reaching out to China to try and resolve this. Because of that, that's one of the things driving the stock market higher, but it has knock-on effects. For example, the U.S. dollar is rallying because now people think trade will be coming back, and so they think that other countries will need more dollars, and so the dollar, which had really sold off, is now starting to rally again. And a general unwinding of the fair trade has pushed gold down. However, it's just short term. I think longer term, we still have a lot of uncertainty in the White House. Rules and trade positions could change on a whim. People know that. And then there's the thing that the U.S. tends to use its currency like a club. And that makes central banks around the world want to own gold, you know, because gold isn't something that can be frozen electronically. And so there's a lot of bullish forces for gold. I've been telling my subscribers to expect a pullback. My target on the pullback is 3150. Buyers seem to keep coming in. Maybe they'll do that this time. If like 3150 fails, then we have support around 2900. There's a lot of support all the way down, really. So I'm not that worried. I mean, nothing goes in a straight line. Gold had to ease off at some point. And so that's what we're seeing now.
What about silver?
Silver, you know, the industrial metal, really. I mean, it was just starting to pick up, and actually it's doing better than gold today. Whereas gold hasn't gotten anywhere off its lows, silver has. We just saw a report. Where is that report from? I'm trying to think. It wasn't Bank of America. It was somebody just saying how much demand for silver in solar energy was going to increase this year. And generally, industrial demand is expected to increase. Now, silver is also a precious metal. I happen to like it. Central banks don't buy silver, though, like they buy gold. That's one of the reasons that it hasn't been performing as bullishly as gold over the past year or so. But maybe one reason that it's off its lows is that, again, the market is getting this hope that trade things will be worked out, and that's bullish for industrial outlooks all around. So I'm not as sanguine on a trade deal as everyone else is. I mean, many of the words coming out of the White House are just nonsense. And I think China really, or at least I've been reading this anyway, really wants Trump to actually make the first call. Whereas Trump and his Treasury Secretary seem to believe that President Trump holds all the cards. That's just not true. So it could be longer. I mean, eventually they'll work this out. I just don't think it's as soon as the market seems to be pricing in now. We'll have to see. If the trade war, which is really what we're having, which has kind of turned into a trade embargo, drags on, then we are going to see the earnings of many companies start to come down, you know, because that's going to be quite recessionary. And even if everything was worked out in a phone call tomorrow, there's a big gap in supply. I mean, it is true that many companies stockpiled ahead of the tariffs because they expected that to come. But it's also true in about 4 weeks, you know, we're going to start seeing shortages on shelves. And if suddenly they decided they could ship everything over here again tomorrow, then we'd have another big, just a huge jumble of ships at the port. You know, they wouldn't be able to get everything in. So we're going to have disruptions anyway. There are other problems as well. Doge, I mean, we can get into that stupid idiocy if you want to. But there's a lot of things that aren't helpful to the economy right now. And so going up, that's true. In the short term, you can't be anything but bullish. I've been posting charts about this, pointing out bullish action. This is because traders are looking beyond the short-term pain, and they think, especially with, you know, the hint of trade talks, that there will be a resolution. And so just like in the pandemic, they start buying the stocks long before there's a real solution in sight. That's kind of what we're seeing now. And they're playing the last war. You know, I mean, that's what worked in the pandemic. They think that's working now. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. I'd like to see an actual announcement before I get too bullish on things. Of course, that'll probably be time to sell. the market is really pricing in success, and I just don't see it yet. I think they're anticipating things a little too much.
Do you think if there's too much economic pressure in China, they'll try to divert the attention of their citizens to the threat by Taiwan and why they have to invade it right now?
Maybe. I mean,
I'm thinking Argentina and the Falklands, because Argentina's economy had collapsed. So how to get people's attention off their empty shelves? Go to war.
Yeah, well, they basically invaded an island that only has sheep and sheep herders on it, didn't they? Yeah. I mean, and also fishermen. I mean, yeah. Whereas Taiwan's a big nut. I mean, it's
80% of the world's chips.
Right. I assume China will one day try to invade Taiwan. I don't know if it would be soon. You have to remember, only 14% of China's exports go to the United States. Hmm. It's not a big a problem for them as it is for the U.S., which doesn't make any of its own socks and underwear.
Wow.
You know, and so it is kind of problematic. It's actually kind of a boom for Canada, because lots of ships which don't want to go to the U.S. West Coast ports are now being routed to Canadian ports on the West Coast. And so that's bullish for you guys, I guess, because if those ships dock there and they unload their stuff, it'll come in with the Canadian tax, which is lower than the China tax. And I should say tariff, but it's a tax. You know, everyone knows it's a tax, unless they're delusional. And so bullish for you guys. Well, or I should say it'll ease the pain. Nobody wins in a trade war. The U.S. won't win. China won't win. Other countries won't win. But it eases the pain to have increased activity from China going through Canada and, like, what else it, and, like, whatever else it does. Because it's just, it's not just the tariffs. You've heard that Team Trump put a ship tax in place as well, right?
What is that?
Maybe you haven't heard.
Yeah.
Well, they charge, I think it's on a per ton basis. It might be per ton, might be per container, but they're charging Chinese ships specifically a lot to land at U.S. ports. What they're trying to do is encourage U.S. companies and U.S. shipbuilders to build more ships here in America. The problem is they're thinking this can be done overnight. Any change like that has to be done over the course of years. Actually, this is the dumbest industrial policy I've ever seen. If they wanted to change America's industrial policy, what they should have done is set out some goals, get all our allies around us rather than insulting everybody, and then, you know, laid out a case for it. This is what we have to do about China, and let's do it. And that would have unfolded over the course of a few years. And you could have done it that way. What they're doing now is not industrial policy. It's industrial madness.
Do you think China is going to take other measures? I mean, already they've cut the U.S. off from rare earths and magnets. And people say, how boring, how important is that? Well, your cell phone won't work without them.
Yeah, in fact, at the conference Weiss Ratings is having in Boca starting this weekend, I'm giving a presentation on rare earths because there's some excellent opportunities there. This is kind of a problem. Even if China dropped the prohibition, which is put on right now on exporting certain rare earths to the U.S. The U.S. needs an industrial policy that encourages rare earth production. We can't be dependent on China all the time for exactly this kind of situation. There are some opportunities, not only in the U.S., but also Australia, which is a rare earth producer. I looked at Canada. I didn't find much going on there, quite honestly. But, you know, things can always come along. But the thing is, we need it, like, within the next year. So it's producers and near-term producers, what can you do? There are some real potentialities there. As to what China might do else, well, one thing they're doing behind the scenes is they're dropping the higher taxes, the higher tariffs they had imposed on U.S. goods on certain products. They're being very select about it. And so some are coming in without those high taxes. And that's actually pretty smart, because there's some things they need to get from us, so they aren't going to put a tariff on it. So we are seeing some adjustment that way. What we're all hoping, I think, is that things don't get worse. That, say, people in the United States don't say the wrong thing to worsen things. I know that certain people in Washington, D.C. were generally unhappy with Canadian election results. And so I also hope that they don't take action against Canada, too. We'll have to see how it goes. And, you know, there's a lot of things up in the air. Uncertainty is the watchword. I keep emphasizing that to my subscribers. It's so true. We really don't know what's going to happen, and it's driving me bananas. I mean, normally you can make at least a three-month outlook, you know, three-month forecast on what's going to happen. Now we can't. And I hate that feeling. I hate that uncertainty.
We'll have more with Sean Broderick right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Sean Broderick. Sean, should they put the price of tariffs on the price tag of goods?
Well, of course they should have, just to show people that consumers pay the tariffs and not the Chinese. But, you know, it just took a rant from the press secretary, who interrupted the Treasury secretary to do it, to get Jeff Bezos to back down from that conversation and go, you know, he's just stepping out of the limelight. Maybe he'll find a spine when he's out there, but I doubt it. You know, he seems pretty flexible to whatever Team Trump wants, and what they want now is to not put the cost of the tariffs on the website. Fine. You know, I mean, people are going to notice prices go up. And, hey, you know, there is some good coming out of this. Maybe you don't need to buy so much stuff. Maybe I don't need to buy so much stuff. So, actually, there's a pile of Amazon boxes in my foyer as I say this, because my wife ordered a bunch of stuff. It is kind of addictive. It is. And we'll have to see what goodies she got. And I bet you most of it's made in China. So this trading relationship could definitely change in ways that would benefit the U.S. It's just the way it's being done, it's not the way it should be done. It's just not a smart way to do it, what they're doing. Well, we'll have to see how it falls out.
South Korea and Japan, no fans of China, considering how China's treated them over the last, I don't know, few thousand years. And they have just signed a mutual trade pact to promote Asian goods. Will those customers ever think of the U.S. again?
Well, I'm pretty sure they will. However, since you bring that up, back during the first trade fracas we had during Trump's first term, you'll remember that China stopped importing things like U.S. soybeans and like stuff like that. We had to subsidize the farmers for billions of dollars because of this. But so for a while, those markets went away, those markets in China for U.S. grains and stuff. After the trade kerfuffle ended, those markets came back somewhat, but they didn't come completely back. You know, there were some buyers that just found other places to buy their grains and stuff, which is mainly Argentina, Brazil, Colombia, other places where they grow grains. A lot of it is in Latin America, but also Canada, you know. And so, we'll see how long this drags out. The longer it drags out, the more risk we are that Asian suppliers just won't make new deals with America because they consider America unreliable. There's that uncertainty thing that I keep mentioning, right? I mean, if the trading outlook can change on a whim or at least at a moment's notice, then, you know, you really need reliability in these big trading relationships. And right now they don't have that. And so that's not good news for American farmers. I hope this ends very soon. I hope that the markets come back. We're all much better off when the economies are, you know, chugging along quite nicely. I hope we get back to that. It's just that I'm not nearly as optimistic as Wall Street is. And so the kind of things that I'm recommending to my subscribers now are in foreign countries, because I think they'll have less trade problems going forward than the U.S. And to that, I'm going to say again, even if all of these tariffs and stuff go away tomorrow, we have damaged our relationships with the other countries around the world. And so that's going to weigh on any future trading relationships we have going forward.
Yeah, now for many countries, China seems a lot friendlier than the U.S.
Well, you know, because they're not idiots. They decided to play it out that way. But it's still a horrible country. I mean, it's horrible to its own people. It's done plenty of crappy stuff around the world. But when they see the opportunity to play the hero, they're going to seize it. Is it self-serving and deceptive? Absolutely. That doesn't matter. It's just, you know, they're taking advantage of the situation because they're not idiots. And so, you know, we're just going to have to deal with that. Let's just hope we get back to normalcy or something, you know, at least within throwing distance of normalcy here in the U.S.
What's going on in the crude market?
Well, funny you should ask. So OPEC is unwinding the restrictions that it put on all its members' production. And it just did like 3 months. It unwound 3 months' worth of restrictions all at once. And so that's weighing on the price of crude. However, on the other hand, while the price of crude is down, all of my oil stocks are up. Why is that? Because people are thinking, well, our tariff problems with China might be going away. One thing China has done in response to the tariffs, say, you know what, we're going to buy our crude elsewhere, from Canada, for example. And we're putting a 15% tariff on U.S. liquefied natural gas, and which made the Chinese buyers so afraid of it. They sold some of that liquefied natural gas mid-ocean. They didn't want it showing up, you know? We are seeing oil stocks go up on hopes for tariff relief, but the price of oil is going down. That's simply due to more supply. I don't consider that a recession thing. A lot of people are trying to say that's a harbinger of recession. Well, there are harbingers of recession. The price of oil is probably not one of them. Instead, that's a supply issue. We're having more supply come onto the market. And so, you know, we'll see how that goes. But I know that the cure for low prices is low prices. The longer oil prices stay low, then the more new projects won't be started, and eventually we will have higher prices. When will that happen? I could easily see it happening later this year, or if not later this year, next year. But so as long as you're in oil companies that actually pay you a nice dividend, you're being paid to wait. It's okay. It's not a rush to, you know, move out of them. That's the way I look at it. And there are oil companies that even at these low prices, they make money. You know, I mean, maybe not the big bucks they made back when oil was around 90, but they still make money, still doing fine. And if they're paying you a dividend, then just ride it out. That's the way I look at it.
What's going on with uranium?
Nothing is going on with uranium. I mean, boy, what a dead market. Though I have seen life in uranium stocks, so that's good. You know, I mean, starting to see some little movement there. We'll just have to see how things go. price of uranium, God, I feel like such a sucker because I felt back during, well, years ago, there was all this talk of uranium's about to pick up. You know, we've seen the bottom of the market. We hadn't. Well, that's the same feeling I'm getting now because I'm not seeing things move up at all. My view on uranium is that, you know, at some point we should have a rally, but I'm just not seeing it yet. Uranium stocks, with their recent movements, they've come off the bottom with the rest of the market. That looks good. You know, I like stocks going in the right direction, but I'm not in any hurry to buy right now.
Is there anything else that caught your eye?
Not really. I mean, I'm keeping the portfolios light. I'm adding stocks in Europe and South America, stuff like that. I'm finding some real bargains there. Some real growth potential, especially the way that Europe is spending on defense. European defense stocks had a great run, but they pulled back, so now we see some entry points. Those look good, you know. So there is potential in this world. We seem to, in the U.S. stock market anyway, we seem to have put in a bottom, and, you know, things look bullish in the short term. But to get that to pay off, we are going to need to see real progress on the trade front. We don't get progress on the trade front, the odds of a recession get higher and higher, and it's not going to be good for corporate earnings, and that could bring us another leg down. So be careful out there, but I don't think you should stay out of it. And I just will say again, I think this pullback in gold is a buying opportunity. The next time it starts to lift, you may have had your eyes on some gold miners that you haven't bought yet. Well, that's when I would buy them.
Sean, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thanks.
My guest has been Sean Broderick, senior editor at WeissRatings.com. If you have any questions for Sean or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.